God plans for your life. We're talking about God's plans for your life. Coming from the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And we will start reading at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, yes, Almighty, the God of Israel, says, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to say or to have. They are prophesying lies. Lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to you, declares the Lord. We're going to look at verse 11, which the message centers around. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then he goes on to say, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. You may be seated. The word of the Lord for the children of God. Thank you, Lord. God's plan for your life. In this letter, this was indeed a letter sent by Jeremiah. I'm looking for the other mic, that's okay. This letter was sent from Jerusalem by Jeremiah, by carrier, who finally got it back to the king in Babylon, where Nebuchadnezzar had taken a part of the people, some of the people, into exile. Jeremiah heard from the Lord. I said he heard from the Lord, and he wrote this letter to the people. Just imagine being in captivity, away from those whom you loved, and maybe the good times and all, and you find yourself living under the rules of an evil king. Jeremiah sent this letter to encourage the people. He wanted the people to know that God had not forgotten them. And even though they were in captivity, he wanted to encourage them to be mindful that it didn't matter so much about them being in captivity. But what mattered most was that he wanted them to keep on getting on, keep on moving. You see, things will come into our lives. But it doesn't mean that we must accept and sit down and do nothing and give up. Disasters happen. Storms come. Tear up the homes. Storms in your lives come. Tear up your family. Sicknesses come. All kinds of things come. Wars. The economic condition bad. But we got to keep on moving on. So this letter was sent to the people to encourage them that you must what? Plant gardens. Huh? And eat from the garden. Marry. Don't decrease, but increase. Keep on moving on. So it is with our lives. We got to keep on keeping on. Because God knows the plans. He has the plans. And his plans are good. What did it say? He said, look at verse 11. I have, verse 11, for I know the plans. He's saying, I have the plans I have for you. And his plans are for us to what? Prosper. He wants to prosper them. So he is encouraging them to go on and live. Go on and believe in the one who has your back. He has your back. He will not fail you. Because God is not a God who can lie. Because he is truth himself. He wanted them to know that don't believe everything that's going on. You cannot believe everything that's going on, even in your life. You have to believe that what God has for you is for you. And when you believe and trust in him, so shall it be. Always. Always with prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Because this is what the Lord is telling the people now, then, and now. He says, it shall be over one day. Yes, it will. But you cannot be a member of the living dead. You gotta live like you hope. For tomorrow. Because if and when you believe in God, you know he is hope. He gives you the strength to run on just a little while longer. Hold on. He wanted them to turn out well. Let's look at these words in this 11th chapter. We see the word prosper. First, we see the word prosper. But first, plans. You see that? Plans. What are plans? Plans are a diagram. A plan is a diagram. It's an outline of a thing or a substitute for a life. What am I talking about? It's a method of doing. How are you going to do something? Arranging, such as arranging
the plan for a vacation.
Then we saw the word,
what?
Prosper. Prosper means to turn out well, to succeed, to become strong or flourishing. Huh? We know this because many are flourishing today in spite of the economic condition. Flourishing, believing, going on anyhow. And then we saw the word harm. Harm means injury, damage, hurt, going through something. That's what evil. There are many, many other meanings that we can give. But then there is hope. Hope, the desire for something that a person believes can be obtained or expected. He will get. He will get. It's not maybe doubt, but he will get it. Why? Because he's depending and living under the auspices of God's promises. This verse we read is the ultimate of all promises. Don't you know when you know that God got your back? You don't have to depend on no hearsay. You know, you don't have to go up to someone proclaiming to be a prophet and tell them your gut, only wishing and hoping they will agree and build you up. You got to depend on what God has already told you. Because false prophesying, false prophets can tell you anything. These people were believing on false prophets to help them. They thought that if they tell them that this was going to be a quick fix, you ain't going to be in under this all the time. I mean, look, believe and pray to this pagan, this idol. Do this, do that. And you know what? It'll be all over with. But you know what? The Bible says here, they are prophesying lies using my name. You have to be careful to whom you go to for help and for information. Huh? You gotta be careful because you don't know if they mean good to you. They may mean harm. They may want you to stay underfoot in the mess that you're in forever. Because they know if you get from under their feet, they are weak. They don't have nobody to do their dirty works and think like they think. That's what the devil wants. He wants to fill his army up with you and I. So we have to be careful and know the word. Know the word of who? God. There was the word, or is the word, future. Future coming after the present. He wanted the exiles to know that you got a future coming after this. We have to know when we go through certain situations that include disappointments, sicknesses, and such, we have to look forward to God's promises,
is what? A future of hope. So that means he want us to be healthy. And if we don't believe it, all we got to do is call upon his name. Because he is the healer. His word tells us he is the healer. But if you don't know the word, you don't know. You have trouble believing. And this is what send you to friends, to false prophets, and such. 2 Timothy 2:15 declares how to study. It says, study to show yourself approved. And I'm going to move on. Just read it. A workman, what? Who needeth not, what? Be ashamed. Rightly. Divine the word of truth. You got to know God's word. When you know his word, then you can apply. When you think about it, these people needed to be encouraged. They needed it because they found themselves listening to all of the rukas, and they were fighting. If you look in the same, you find that he's telling them, look, don't be mad with one another. He said, seek peace, right? That's what it means. Seek peace. Can't you imagine them grumbling and fighting? Who moved the cheese? Who moved it? This was mine. The king gives me favor. Fight it. But he said, seek peace. It's all right, Satan. I told you to tip on out of here. You got to recognize Satan's tricks. Because if you don't, oh, trouble. It's going to be all up in there. Yes, sir. You got to see his mercy. And I want you to know that there are 3 points I want to share with you. And I'm going to find them. Oh, yes, Satan. I am going to find them. But I want you to know that the points are that you have to accept. I didn't find it, but thank God, it's in my heart. First, you got to accept what God has allowed. Then you have to pray to God to send you ways to get along and get on with your life in spite of, you see. This is what Jeremiah is telling them. He said, go on, accept what you cannot change, but God will, and he can. And then he said, avoid, we see it here, he said, avoid confusion, because he said, if you waste all your time fussing and grumbling, you're not going to be able to plant gardens, have children, or nothing. You are wasting your time. So you, when you accept, it means that you submit to God and you are totally dependent on him. That is what? Point two, avoid confusion. Avoid it. Let's all show mercy. Show love. Be helpful with one another so that we all can make it through. Not waste your time complaining about what the Lord has allowed, but instead knowing that he can change your pathway. And so can you. By what? Being disobedient. Another point. You got to obey. You have to let the Lord know that you are depending on him. We cannot take things into our own hands, you see, because to do so, you are then depending on the flesh, you see. These people, yes, they had problems, and so do we. But the thing about it is, we got to avoid the subtle voice of the devil and keep on moving. These people were in a strange land, but so are we. We are only passing by. Huh? We are pilgrims passing through this weary, weary, and sometimes evil and hard land. But because we know that God has the plan for our lives, we're going to keep on keeping on in the name of Jesus. The Word of God will tell you what to do in tough situations, but you got to find it. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, and go to the second chapter. We're going to go to the these verses here will tell us. Look at verse 11. Did I tell you second? I said 2 Timothy, didn't I? Okay, I'm wrong. I mean, first, I'm going ahead of myself. That's the next one. 2 Peter. And verse, it seems, okay. Let's look at 1, verse 1 in 2 Peter and 2. I tell you, we're going to move on because, okay. We're going to move on. Yes. In 2 Peter, then, since I did not go to Timothy, the 2 Peter and the first verse says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into dispute." What are we saying here? The false heresies is simply to take your mind off of God. Take your mind off of his son Jesus. This is for today's. It is to cause confusion in God's word, making you go to and fro, not knowing which direction that you need to be in. We have to remember the gift that God gave us. We cannot get all tangled up in what we are going through, how bad it is, because there is one who suffered much more than us. go to 2 Peter, and if you look at what happened here to help God's children weather the storms. I said 2 Peter again, but it's 1 Peter. I gave wrong information, but I want you to know for some reason, I am going to go on in the name of the Lord, and nervousness is going to cease. Peter here in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter and the 2nd, starting at the 2nd verse, is telling us how we are to conduct ourselves when we are going through or in the midst of suffering. And it reads in my version, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans." This is almost like the letter that Jeremiah was telling the people. He says, "Live such lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he waits for us. Submit yourselves." Jeremiah wanted them to do what? Submit. Accept what God has allowed. He said, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake." For whose sake? The Lord's sake. "To every authority instituted among men." Talking about the king there. "Whether to what? To the king as the supreme authority, or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Verse 15. "For it is God's will." Whose will? God's will. "That by doing good, you should silence the ignorance talk of foolish men." Talking about what? The prophets. "Live as free men do, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers." Because why? "No suffering that you and I, including the people living in exile, has ever suffered like our Savior." Our Lord and Savior suffered for you and I so that we would not become captive to the devil. He could have come down from the cross, but he chose not to. And I thank God that he did not come down, but he stayed on the cross. He hung there and he said not a mumbling word. If he suffered when they hurled insults, when they nailed him to the cross, why are we grumbling so much about what he, she, or it did? It hurts. I lost my job. I'm angry. My children need food, need shoes. I've lost my house, or it's gone up for foreclosure. I'm hurting. I just as well not believe all of that they say about the Lord is with me. Where is he now? Believe. You got to believe. You cannot fool yourself that trouble will come. God did not promise us a garden of goodness always. Trouble will come. But thank God it will not last, because the lasting effect of the trouble and the suffering of Jesus Christ
to suffer a little bit like Jesus. We got to learn to take up our cross and follow him. We must know from whom all of our help comes. Our help comes from the Lord. And in the Lord's will, he will, in his time, he will see you through. Because there's a time for everything. But God knows how long to keep us in the fire. He knows, because his son has been there and he allowed it. My God knows the time to take you out of captivity. So hang on in there, baby. Let it be known that he's coming back. He's coming back to me. And he's going to take that yoke from off of my neck. The burden on my back. He is going to prosper me. Because he has promised. He has promised. And God's word is true. He cannot lie. He gave an oath to Abraham. He made it himself. Because he was truth himself. He didn't need nobody else to stand and witness the oath. Because God is truth. You got to trust in him. You got to trust in him. Jeremiah encouraged the people. Just hold on in there and trust in God. Because he knows the plans. He gave the plans. He allowed things to come into our lives for a reason. But I'll tell you what. The Bible says pray. Jeremiah said what? Pray. Pray. And God will hear your prayer. But guess, listen. You got to be God's child. You got to be a believer. You got to know and believe that what you prayed for is coming true. Because God has promised. God has promised. Hallelujah. And that's enough for me. That's enough. That's enough. Because God said it. He will do it.